I told you there was sound.
And fury. How cool is that? Huh.
What?
Huh? Is there a, huh? So, yeah. I don't know. Can you even hear me?
I can hear you, but...
What?
This isn't gonna go well.
Always good with the understatements. Oh, hey. Look. Shh. Hear that?
I was gonna pile over real silence.
I don't know how long that will last.
Maybe it's our lunch break.
Yeah, we gotta take a lunch break,
don't we?
Well,
it's about to start raining.
Oh.
So maybe they're gonna quit.
That might win.
It was sprinkling when I was on the way here, but it's supposed to start raining again.
Hey, he's got a point. Sean's got a good point there.
Come on.
So I guess we can try this, right? In this fine week 672 of the Crankcast?
Just talk fast.
Talk fast. Sean, I've noticed recently in the past, I don't know, few months at least, that you sound more mature.
What does that mean?
I don't know. His voice has gotten deeper or something. I don't know.
Bound to happen eventually.
Yes, totally true, Craig. Yesterday I was playing a video game with some random kid.
Okay, I take it back.
Yeah, he's been Twitch streaming his video games, and you say he's getting mature.
This kid came on, he was like, "Hello, guys, how's it going? How old do you think I am?" And
well,
these two other little kids were on the thing too, and they're like, 31? 25? He's like, "Just kidding, I'm 13. It was like a kid who was just like throwing his voice in this really weird way.
Ah, kids.
It was really weird.
So Sean plays with kids, and...
Yeah, dude. No one else will play with me.
None of us are good enough. The kids of old
enough
friends to play with Sean.
I need internet friends.
Oh. Do they know you're an old man?
What?
Do they know you're an old man?
No, I mean, I think kids in general, if your voice is at all mature, you're... anywhere from 25 to 45, they assume.
Right, right.
What's great is once he's done playing, though, he sells them their comic. Sells them his comic.
Yeah.
You get that from your robot?
It's like, I think we've learned a lot today.
Like, fuck you, old man.
Good game, kids. Buy the comic.
And then they ask him if they can play it. And he says no, and then they shrug and walk off.
I'm like, I'll give you free V-Bucks if you buy...
They call him a terrible word, and then they hang up on him.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm guessing this was, what, Fortnite?
Fortnite! That's the only game I've installed on my PlayStation.
I still haven't played that. I've been meaning to since you started talking about it last year. But haven't gotten around to it. I'm afraid I'll get sucked in.
I don't think so. You'll either like it or hate it. And I'm guessing mostly hate it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really much into those competition games.
Yeah.
The problem I found with Fortnite, though, is that you play your first ones, and they're like, wow, you're either good or you're just like, wow, I'm really bad at this. I'm not sure I'm into this. And then like a week later, you're like, maybe I could get better.
That's what happened.
And then you like pick it up again,
you describe
and you do awful again, and then
you just that's keep the Sean Dog story.
Except I started early enough where everyone wasn't like god level players.
Yeah, that's real
so
hard
like,
now.
you could sneak into a like second place win before. where I'm just hiding in like a bush, scared.
Second place is not winning.
It's better than 99th place.
Yeah, it's true. You're just less of a loser.
Yeah, I'm usually pretty sneaky enough playing on my own that I can get into like at least the top five. But then I just panic at the very end and can't compete.
Yeah.
Because people are just so just crazy at their building and stuff.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
So, when you're playing teams on Fortnite, what happens when your team is the last people left? Do you just turn on each other?
No.
Yeah.
Well, they should do that.
That'd be fun.
For one of the themed weekends. Special rules.
No, you just win.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I was wondering about that. I didn't know.
I think it'd be great if they just didn't tell anyone and all of a sudden the game's not ending. We won!
The crazy curtain thing, what do they call that when the circle shrinks?
Yeah. If it was like, winner! And then all of a sudden a countdown clock appeared, it was like, 10, 9. What's happening? Hey.
No, the circle just keeps getting smaller, and they're like, why won't the circle stop getting smaller?
All of a sudden it's like, weapons armed. Like, what the fuck?
This game is designed to murder you. Murder game.
It drops every other player who died previously back into the match, and they're surrounding you.
Like that.
But they're all on the same team against you.
That's scary.
If you're listening, Epic, you can take these ideas.
Man, so I'm on the new Skype now, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Oh, there we go. Oh, well.
At 11, it's an 80% chance of rain.
Oh, there. They stopped again. We could just make the whole show nothing but construction noises.
Hey, you know I like to torture people that listen.
What
so.
Sure.
The icon for this week's episode is just the utter construction.
like the old CompuServe, like under construction?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Okay, so I don't know where it's putting this. Anyway, so I'm on this new Skype, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it, but huh? Maybe they hate it too.
Every time you mention
it, kind of sounds like it's moving away, though.
Maybe Skype hired these construction workers to make noise every time you. Try and talk bad about
Reset. Yeah. it's what do they call that? A reality hack or something. But they've built a function into the new Skype now to record calls. But I couldn't find it in the settings anywhere. I didn't see it until just now when we were chatting, and I'm looking at the chat window, and I'm popping open just different new menu icons and stuff. And I found it there, but I have no idea where it's recording to. You know? Like, where? Where is it recording to? At least I can still share my screen and stuff. So I wonder what the call quality is on their recording.
Query unknown, Captain.
Have they made you, what version are you on? Have they made you upgrade it?
I don't know what version I'm on. Let me look. I think I am. It says Chris is recording on it, so that's a new thing.
Oh, yeah. That's. I remember reading that when you record, they it informs all the people that are part of the call that you're recording. That probably just make sure it auto-covers your ass.
8.28.0.41.
Yeah, version 8. Okay, so you are on the new one already. So, I don't know. I mean, I still think we ought to figure out some other thing to use than Skype. Maybe we could just play Fortnite and talk to each other during Fortnite.
You, we'd be more popular.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed by the audio quality on Discord.
We tried Discord.
I like that the noise started up again right when he started talking about audio quality.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I didn't do it.
So they, yeah, what are they doing out there? Are they just, like, sawing up the road or what?
They have been for the last month.
Huh.
Well, they just killed somebody.
Did they scream?
Huh?
Did somebody scream?
No, that was just, I don't know. They got the vacuum stuck on the carpet, I guess.
Oh, okay. Like when the vacuum sucks up the edge of a blanket or a curtain or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right then. So yeah, anyway, this recording thing. I'm just going to continue to record this through Skype and see what it does, because I'm curious.
I mean, you could call back this afternoon if you want, if you remember.
Yeah, but then that requires you to remember too. Or, like, you actually respond to my messages. You know. Because, who knows? I mean, they might still be working this afternoon, yeah? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows what they're doing.
Supposed to be a
3-hour
window of rain.
Pray for rain. But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, what's new?
What's new?
Yeah, new. Okay, then.
I'll just call you back later.
All right. Talk to you later. Boom. Huh. Yeah, there is still a dump truck noise.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll work.
Me neither.
It's really annoying.
I'll say. How come you aren't outside watching the dump trucks?
Because I'm not three.
I knew you were going to say that.
What?
So I'm kind of intrigued by this new recording function thing here in the Skype.
Okay.
Well, because it means we could actually, like, it records. Okay, so when I was testing it before in our previous aborted attempt, I got done with the recording that Skype was doing, and I guess it saves it to the network, and then, because I had to download it after that, and it says they'll delete it in like 30 days or something like that, or you can manually delete it, but it, what it did was it saved a video, and in our case, it was a video of our icons in the chat lighting up when noise happened, you know?
Okay.
And, you know, then an audio track in the video. But what that means is that we could actually have two video cameras running and record ourselves talking and video, as well as the audio that I'm recording here. So, and I mean, the audio from the Skype recording wasn't terrible, but, you know, it'd be usable in a pinch. But it means we could do video now. Like, easily. Where before, I would have had to rig something up and do a screen overlay capture thingy something or another, or a third-party plug-in or whatever, you know, and now it's all sort of internal. I still don't like this new Skype, though.
Well, why would anybody want to see us talk?
Why not? Because it'd be magic, man. Yeah? No?
I don't know if that would be more exciting to see us looking bored.
I don't know either, but point is that it's an option now. We could do this.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Yeah? No? Maybe? I can't figure out what it's... Oh, well, whatever. Anyway, so we're back.
Are you going to put this with the other part of the podcast?
Yeah, why not? I already did the intro and all that jazz. It's not like we're really talking about anything useful, right? I mean, essentially, we're just killing time until we die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. What else is new? I'm almost done with the second Eisner instructional book.
What's the second?
It explores more into panel layouts and why, like how you handle certain things to convey the information better than others. And it gripes a little bit about translations getting lost between, like he's a big proponent of the writer and artist being the same thing.
Interesting.
At least in this book. And, you know, he kind of got into it in the first book, too, because most of the mentions he talked about, he would basically say, well, you know, it's getting more common to have separate writers and artists, but the purest form of the interpretation will always come from a single writer-artist person.
Hmm.
I'm summarizing that. That's not exactly what he said, but, you know.
I guess that's true.
It makes sense. I mean, you know, if it's all in one person's head, there's less chance of the idea getting lost from person to person. Or, like, you know, when you're a kid and you'd play, like, Chinese Whispers or something, you know, and by the time it got to the end of the chain of kids, it was not what the first person said at all. You know?
It's called Telephone, where I was from.
Okay. But you understood what I meant.
Yep.
And, I gather that he goes so far as to actually propose that it's better off for the entire thing to be done by one person, like art, coloring, lettering, all that jazz. And considering, most of his work wasn't colored, from what I can tell, or if it was, it was colored later or something. I could see his viewpoint on that because he pretty much was doing it all himself. So it makes sense to come at it from that angle. The second book's a lot more, how do I want to say? The bulk of the book's taken up with sections that are strictly reprints of comics. I mean, he's giving them as an example, but it's not as much like textual information, you know?
Oh.
So there'll be like, you know, 5 pages of a spirit story or something like that, where he precedes it by saying, here's an example of how I handled this situation or whatever. Which, I mean, it's still cool because it's pretty to look at and, you know, all that, but it's just not as dense information-wise, I think, as the first one. And even with the added sections of, like, comic material and stuff like that, it's still a lot drier than the McLeod books, too. It is more of a, I guess, an instructional format.
Interesting.
One thing I found out from these that I never knew was that Eisner actually did instructional comic books for the military for several years. In the early 50s, I think. They were things about how to how to keep your parts depot organized and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of funny. Makes sense, though. And, I mean, he actually founded a company on that, and they did that for, like, educational organizations and businesses and stuff besides the government. Just something I never knew. It also goes to show that even really great comics people like tend to also make a living outside of comics a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least to supplement their comics even while they're doing comics. But yeah, it's kind of neat. And I'm not sure, I guess, yeah, I'm still going to read the third one, but I think the third one's more of a about actual drawing instead of comics, putting together comics. I think it's more on, like, gestures and expressions and stuff like that.
It feels like it's going in reverse.
Yeah. Yeah. He starts off with the whole how to put everything together, narrows that down, and then, yeah, gets back to where most people would start with the how to actually draw the basics kind of thing. I'm not sure that that's what the third one is, but that seems to be more of what the title indicates. So, but, you know, I'll read it anyway. It might be something that I won't get a lot out of unless I'm sitting there practicing what he's teaching, I guess. I don't know. But, and then after that, I've got, there was a book McKeever recommended last week. It was called Panel Discussions or something like that, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I actually wound up ordering that. In fact, in my, because, you know, as I do when I'm looking for especially older books, I always hit the places where I can find them cheapest first, like used copies or something like that. And the seller I was looking at had a one of those things where if you buy two, you get them for like an additional discount or something like that.
You bought two copies of it?
No, I wound up buying like 16 books, different books.
Oh, wow.
Just all comics. Some of them were actual comics, but some of, you know, like I bought McLeod's collection of 24-hour stories and stuff like that. Oh, that's cool. And I bought that Panel Discussions, and I bought, like, The Making of Sin City, because it was, like, $4, and it's a hardcover. And I'm like, why not, you know, because it shows, like, storyboard layouts compared to original comic shots, compared to, like, the film scenes and stuff like that. So I figured that was fairly related to what I was looking for anyway. And I bought a couple of comics, just stuff I'd never heard of. Like Max Brooks did a G.I. Joe story for IDW.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, it was, looked interesting. It was a hardcover, and again, it was like $3 or $4. So I'm like, yeah, I'll check it out. Why not? Yeah. And some other indie stuff that I may or may not actually get through, because once I started flipping through the art, I'm like, I don't know about this. But worth checking out. And again, you know, cheap enough that I figure what the hell. I mean, I still spent $70 or something like that on books, but the good thing is it's all reference material. So that looks good on my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of taxes, third quarter's coming up. I gotta hit that.
Okay.
I've done good so far this year, though. I've actually paid my first and second quarters.
Good.
There were, for real. I mean, there were a lot of years when I didn't pay any of my quarterlies and just took the penalty at the end of the year and paid it.
Whoa, my legs are...
So you should stand.
No, I was standing.
Oh, so you should sit.
I am sitting now.
Well, stand up again. Get down. Get on up again. I need bookcases now, though. I moved all my reference stuff, my comics-related reference stuff, up to my office space.
Mm-hmm.
And the one bookshelf I had's, like, overflowing, and I got stuff stacked on top instead of neatly arranged and whatnot. So I need to get actual some bookcases for books, but the only spot I have to put them in is this real narrow area, so I actually have to use, like, thinner bookcases that'll fit in that spot.
Thinner.
But yeah, it's kind of nice having, because I got all my, you know, stuff I've worked on that I've gotten trade copies of and stuff like that. And I still need to get revival trades, so.
From me?
From somebody. I don't want to buy them. Unless I can find them for like a couple bucks a piece. Then maybe. But, yeah, it's nice having that, just in case I have to go back and quickly, like, instead of digging through my files.
Uh-huh.
I just need to see, like, how I handled something.
You're going to have to get all the Battle Pug stuff together for the collections.
Oh, the Compugdium? Are you,
Hitting you up again.
I thought you already had all that stuff.
Well, you've got all the print-ready files.
Most of them I'll probably have to re-output, because the actual print-ready files I get rid of for space reasons later.
You dick.
What? Why would I hang on to them for so long?
Because I tell you.
No, that's not a good reason. So are you printing that up as the same size?
Yeah.
Gotcha. I guess it'd be a good opportunity to comb through it all again and make sure we correct anything that didn't get corrected for the collections the first time.
Well, I ain't correcting shit.
Don't you want a better product?
It's pretty good.
All about the QC, man.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good's not good enough for your boy.
For your boy? Your boy's not on the internet no more.
Oh. That's a shame.
It is, isn't it?
Yep. Anyway. What else is new?
Constantly working.
I kind of wish Emmons was there. I need to ask him a technical question.
He's not here today.
I know. Not there when I need him. I'm trying to figure out, like... Yes!
What?
The truck.
I hate the fucking thing. Okay, what?
Can't rain all the time. I can't even hear myself at all.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
It's because I can't hear myself over it. All right. Anyway, so yeah, there's a back. I guess they started phasing them out back in the early 2000s. Probably there used to be a card format for computers called PCI, which was a step up from the old like AGPs and things like that, or the ISA slots. And I've got a bunch of audio cards that are, you know, for recording. They're multiple input, multiple output kind of things. And you can string them together to make like a 32-track recording studio or whatever, you know, kind of thing. But they're still using the old format PCIs. Well, since the PCIs, weirdly, there are still a lot of motherboards that at least have like one or two PCI slots left or something like that. Because I guess a lot of people still use them. And apparently PCI stuff has been coming back because, or at least adapters have been coming back because the Bitcoin miners and stuff like that, they'll take old video cards, old PCI video cards, and string them all together into a big power-hungry rack kind of thing, and use all that sort of parallel computing power to break the code to mine more Bitcoin, or various other cryptocurrencies or whatever, you know. Sometimes they'll do shit like that for like SETI, like, you know, decoding transmissions to try to find alien life or something. But anyway, so I got these, what they use now are what's called PCIe, and they're smaller, basically they're not directly compatible with the old PCI format. So I got these PCI to PCIe adapters, and I was just going to ask Emmons if he's had any experience with them, like problems or anything, which would have turned into, a very interesting conversation over the course of the show. Yes. And I'm just talking now. To myself, I'm sure.
I don't know, man. This is driving me insane.
In the membrane? Indeed. I've also had weird old, like, mid-90s, late-90s digital reverb processors on the brain lately.
equipment?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I picked up this old Lexicon unit and got it really cheap because the person didn't think it worked, or yeah, thought it didn't work very well. But it turned out it just needed some dusting out and crap. And I upgraded the BIOS chip to make it, like, better. You know? And so I got, like, a pretty good deal on it. But since then, I've also acquired, like, two other 90s little digital reverb processors. And an early 2000s amp emulator from a company called Johnson, which apparently was pretty revolutionary, and then they went bankrupt. Or got absorbed into their parent company, which is DoD, weird enough. Or not DoD, Digitech, sorry. Or at least they're all owned by the Harman Group. However that works, you know. And apparently while some of the technology from this Johnson J-Station unit was filtered over into the Digitech stuff, like the RP300 that you used to have that you gave me, still a lot of people seem to think that the Johnson unit sounded better. The Johnson unit. that's funny. Now I say it out loud. Stop me, Mike. I'm babbling.
Yeah, you are, but I can't hear you, so it doesn't matter.
Huh. Does it help if I speak? No, now I'm starting to clip.
Oh, it feels really annoying that I can't understand you.
Well, turn it up, man.
No.
Blast it. Pretend it's a block rockin' beat. Instead of something else. What you working on?
Grumble.
Grumble? A grumble in the jungle? I'm working on curse words.
Woo.
Ain't that a heck of a thing? There's a really cool whale shark ship thing in it. I like it.
That was fun to color.
I bet it was. It's a Titanic. It's massive, man. Giant.
It's the Titanic?
Shh.
Secrets.
Secrets. But, yeah, you know. And it's got that crazy Frenchman, Jacques Jacques.
I don't like that character.
Nah.
I'm surprised that he's become like a main guy.
He's sort of a twerp. But, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah, Grumble. Grumble's gotten some really nice comments recently.
Yeah.
I like that. Good.
They sent copies out to people, and I didn't think to do that, but I guess that's a good idea.
You know, I was actually thinking about this, because most times, being a letterer, most times I'm just not involved in that part of the discussion by the rest of the team or whatever. And occasionally, you know, like a publisher or something will just sort of send out a letter to the people working on stuff saying, hey, we're promoting this, so if you want to retweet it or whatever, you know. And I'm just kind of like, well, most everybody I'm working with is probably going to tweet it to the same people I'm tweeting it to anyway. So, I realized, though, in this instance, when we were sending out stuff to people, that I'm lacking in that knowledge of how to self-hustle like that. You know, because most of the time it hasn't been required of me to do that, so I haven't pursued it a lot, you know, and I'm always worried about, I don't know, man, you know, I get funny about when I feel like I'm bugging people, you know, which has always kind of prevented me from really stepping outside and aggressively promoting anything, because I feel like I'm just being a pain in the ass to other people. So, yeah, thanks. I love you too.
I get what you mean by the, like, feeling like sharing something isn't worth it because someone else has shared it. Probably the same exact followers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because you know, a lot of the times it's I mean, comics has a lot of people, and there's a lot of people in comics I don't know, obviously, you know. But a lot of the times, although, you know, I'm finding out more and more that the more different people I work with, the more the signal gets out to people that I don't know, too. So, that's a good thing. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of the times it just feels like I'm just going to be repeating the same thing to the same people. Like, because we all sort of, at least in a certain circle, all sort of know each other anyway. It's like, I mean, who am I going to send a copy of it to? Ryan? Tim? You know, like, I mean, they... Mike's already done that, right? You know, they've already seen it.
I wouldn't assume that, because I'm not good at sending stuff to people. Hmm.
So I turn on the air conditioner?
That might be less noisy. Although right now we're in a good calm spot.
Yeah. Sweet relief.
Maybe they're taking their Union 15 or whatever, you know? But, yeah, so I'm trying to get better at this. I'm trying to learn more about the, because, I mean, you know, I'm trying to get over that thing, like I said, where, what?
Sorry.
Oh, I'm
too amazed by what Mike is doing.
I have an electricity brush.
Mike has a cheating brush.
I have tons of cheating brushes.
This, though, is fucking crazy cheating.
I don't give a fuck.
What is a cheating brush?
What? Mm-hmm. All the electricity, he just, it was one swoop, and it just made a bunch of clay.
What?
Oh.
Oh my god.
It's like a Kirby Crackle brush or something.
That's how I'm able to do my magic,
Kirby
y'all.
Kirby Crackle, though, is bullshit to have to draw. Lightning, though, is like two lines.
I have a Kirby Crackle brush, too.
Yeah, that shit's annoying. That electricity brush is... Mondo Cheeto.
So, how does it feel to be looked on as lazy, Mike?
Yeah, I know, huh?
Eventually, there's just going to be a brush that draws arms. Just draw it.
Well, there's a lot. Come here, look. There are.
Is there a bicep brush?
There's a couple of brushes that just do insane shit that I don't use because they are a little ridiculous.
That one level up of cheating that Mike's had.
Oh, no.
A
fucking squid brush?
Yeah, just I have tentacle brush.
There's a brush that draws tentacles?
Yeah, it's just drawing tentacles with, like, little suckers on it, and...
that one's fun. I like that one.
That kind of makes sense.
I have an Illustrator action that populates a field with trees.
That's not very good.
See, yeah, that's the thing.
That one I'd more want to do for like that weird, like, yarny hair.
I don't use this one, but that's helpful.
That could be useful.
I use this a lot.
See, this is where videoing the Twitter would be good, because you could turn the camera on the screen and
I'm live. I'm twitching this right now.
I need this stitch brush. Yeah, the stitch brush. Yeah, the chain link brush.
The ruby stitch brush.
Oh, rope brush.
Watch
just
it. You'll get burned.
Sausage link brush.
Like, stitch. Who does enough sausage links to justify a sausage link brush?
He's kidding. It wasn't a sausage link brush.
Oh, okay.
That tentacle one, though, was... That was next level.
A lot of them I don't use because they are a little... Like, a lot of tree brushes. One thing, like drawing trees.
Oh, no, I saw a lot of tree brushes. But in,
there are. I use a lot for foliage. Yeah. There's a lot of leaf brushes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like the grass brush. You can just make flowing fields of grass. Never-ending grass. I imagine the tentacle brush was probably a boon to hentai.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
You're doing fireworks,
Mike?
Is that what you're doing?
I have stuff that will work for fireworks.
Having to paint in fireworks.
Gosh, where were we? Oh, yeah. I know. I was gonna start. Gonna ask you about Cintiq stuff.
Okay.
Did you use the? You're on the newest, whatever that is now, right? The 27 thingy.
I guess. I don't feel like I'm on the newest, but I might. I'm probably close.
Is it? Is it that 27-inch letterbox one?
Yes.
Okay. The UHD or HD or whatever the heck it's called?
Sure.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, I still can't, because, I mean, that's like $2,200-$2,300 or something like that. 27 QHD, that's what it is. Like $2,200, I think. New. And I still can't quite justify that, but I was still looking at some of the other not quite as old ones.
Uh-huh.
Have you worked on, like, because, I mean, like, the 13s and the 16s are pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Are they workable? Like, as far as having enough space to look at and stuff?
Well, I mean, for me, I've realized I don't like drawing small.
Okay.
But it seems to work for a lot of people. You know, Mitch Garrett's draws everything on a 13-inch companion.
Hmm.
So.
I think I saw that Scotty just needed a 16-inch.
So.
I, because, you know, I mean, like, I can get specs and stuff off a website, but I'm looking more for, like, how's it feel kind of questions, you know, like.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, those smaller models are pretty affordable, especially if you get them used or refurbed or something. I'm trying to picture myself drawing on something, not drawing, but, trying to let her, do my work, you know. And it, eventually, I'd like to, you know, lead it to some light drawing or something, but that's not the main focus. But working in such a constrained area, like, I've been working on a 21-22 inch monitor for years, and even that sometimes I don't feel like I have enough desktop on it, you know.
Yeah.
I've joked around with the idea of getting like a 4K TV. Just getting like a 30-inch 4K TV or something, just so I have the pixels. Like,
that seems a little insane. But.
Well, you know, I figured that would give me all the desktop space I needed. You know, being like a 4K TV, it's going to be, you know, I don't have to worry about it looking real super pixely up close or anything. You know, and it would be like in the old days when I used to use like the. You know, I used to use like 2400 monitor resolutions on the old CRTs and stuff like that, and it would make all the text super tiny, but I had plenty of space on the screen, you know?
Yeah, the shit you did where you had like the little pillow fort in front of a TV crap, that's what insane people do. Nobody works like that.
That's how I started working.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was comfortable, dude.
Why don't you just project your fucking screen onto a wall?
Because I haven't found a projector I can afford with the right resolution and luminance. Luminance?
Yeah.
Lumens? I would if I could, you know, if it was like super duper high res and bright and the contrast was good. Heck, I could take that projector outside and work at night. That would be fun. But, yeah, I don't know. With the newer Cintiqs, because I know a lot of people used to complain about, like, the parallax and that on them. Have they thinned the glass, or has the parallax gotten better?
The parallax is better than any other fucking thing, so I don't really worry about it.
Okay.
People that complain about that, I don't think they should be able to. They shouldn't be drawing digitally, I don't think, because it's not going to be for them.
Hmm.
because you're not going to get rid of it completely.
And have you had any, like, I don't know, say within the past year or so, have you had any major, like, driver conflicts or driver problems with the Wacom stuff?
I haven't. Ryan Brown has, but I got a feeling that's for lack of patience.
Because that seems to be another common complaint, is driver problems.
I've managed to resolve any problems I've had fairly quickly.
Any, like, jitter or lag problems?
No. The only lag I ever had was when I tried to use AstroPad.
Yeah.
That was an iPad.
Okay. Does, and you're working in Clip now, right? Still?
Mm-hmm.
Do you, use any other smoothing functions, or are you all just straight hand strokes?
Smoothing functions?
Yeah, they, you know, like an Illustrator, you know, when you're using a brush in Illustrator, you can tell it to smooth your curve a little bit or whatever.
Yeah, that doesn't really have, each brush has a little bit of it that you can change.
Well, all right then. I'll have more questions later. Much later.
Will you?
Maybe. Maybe once I get one. I'm trying to get one before the end of the year so I can go on this year's taxes.
A companion or a...
I want to get in something. I'm looking in the Wacom line rather than where I was concentrating before in the alternatives, like the Yanova or Huion or whatever, you know?
Yanova!
Although the, I guess the patent has gone up on the batteryless pen. Like, I guess Wacom's patent's come up on it or something like that, because now the newest generation of the alternative monitors are starting to use batteryless pens, which is, I find, so much better than having to worry about even a rechargeable battery in your pen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just change, you know, like, you don't have to worry about the weight, you don't have to worry about the having it charged, you know, anything.
Sean was just showing me a new Wacom alternatives. It's like 400 for the 16.
Oh, right, yeah, that looked promising.
It's like only 600 for the 20 something inch.
Yeah,
it
price
looks like it was straight up ripping off though.
Price wise, the alternatives are really appealing. You know, and I was looking at the newest Huion that's coming out, and that's why I was talking about, like, it's got the batteryless pen and just better, you know, better resolution on the pen, I guess, as far as lines reported and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My biggest problem, and that's part of why I was asking about the drivers with the Wacom stuff, is that my biggest problem is that the alternatives drivers, in one way or another, they always seem to give me some sort of fit that I haven't been able to overcome, except by, like, for one thing, they don't work well with any other driver. Like, the Wacom drivers don't work well with any other, like, alternative driver, so you can't have them both running at the same time correctly.
Like mini driver?
Yes, like mini driver. She will not work correctly with a Wacom. Sorry. Wacom? Wacom? Whatever. Whack-a-mole. But they, so, like, you know, say you've got, I don't know, you've got the Wacom working correctly, right? Then, like, the alternative, like the Huion driver, won't report pressure. And the other, like, you can still draw with it, but it'll just give you a flat line. It won't report any kind of pressure. And that seems to be something they've never actually solved, even with the newest drivers. Which I think is unfortunate. But the other thing was, is like the drivers for the Huion specifically, and I don't even know if I'm saying that right. It might be Huion. Huion?
Huion!
Huion. Huion.
It's called Huion.
I just,
I'd appreciate it if you would get it right.
Huion.
Investor in the company.
But one problem I've ran into is Illustrator specific, in that it works fine in Photoshop. You get a nice pressure gradient. from like the, you know, like the heavy pressure. But in Illustrator, it wants to, it screws up on the real low end. So like if you're starting off to try to control your line lightly or something like that, you wind up just getting these weird blobs and spots, like where the driver over registers the pressure or something, and all of a sudden it'll jump or spike, and you wind up with this blob in your line that you can't get rid of unless you just keep control Z-ing and then pick up your line again, you know?
Smoothing built into Illustrator?
Nah, I've tried turning off the smoothing entirely to see if that would take care of it, and it does it with the blob brush, it does it with the actual line, like the point paintbrush, it does it with the anything with pressure, it doesn't want to register the lower. And I went back to like old drivers, I tried brand new drivers just to see if something had changed, nothing fixed it, and I looked it up and I read other people having the same problem, so. But I don't know, I think the newer drivers for the newer hardware, which I guess are using different digitizers now too, are, I'm not seeing that stuff reported. So I got some hope for that. It's just, like the alternatives for the nicer, like 21, 22, 23 inch models and stuff. I mean, you're running between like $600 to $800 probably, depending on what it is and which manufacturer it is. And I'm thinking, like, hell, if I could get a decently not overused, like, 22 HD from a couple years ago or something, if I could get that for around the same price, maybe I should go with that, you know? Like, and, but then, you know, I don't know. For all I know, I'll get it, and somehow in my configuration, the drivers or the Wacom stuff will still be all jacked up too, you know, or something. So maybe I'm just as well off going with the alternative. But anyway, yeah, I'm looking at doing that this year. I'm going to upgrade my setup. Get me a nice little monitor arm and kind of get it up off the desktop and, you know, get crazy with it. Or something. I don't know, you know.
My big thing was I recently got was just a... like a 25 inch monitor that I can rotate on its side, so I can just have like the full page
version. Yeah, that's part of why I want to put the monitor on the arm, so I could do that. Because I remember doing that back in high school. We had Macs that would do that, where we could turn the attached monitor or whatever, and it would it would give us a portrait view instead.
Yeah.
And I really like the idea of that for working on pages, because they're portrait oriented for the most, you know. I don't know what that does to the, like, when you're working with it and you go into portrait mode, does it kind of cramp your toolbar areas or?
Well, I use it with my Surface Pro, so I plug the monitor into my Surface and just use it as a second screen. And then, like, you know how you can open two versions of the same document in Photoshop? I'll just have a second window. So I'm working on my Surface, but then seeing blown up what I'm working on, or the full thing I'm working on the second monitor.
So you're mirroring the second monitor to the Surface?
No, I'm keeping it as like a second desktop, or like an extended desktop. So I just drag the second window into the monitor.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Desktop. And so everything I do shows up on that other version of the document, so I can see it, the full page, while I'm zoomed in on, like, a single panel on the Surface.
That makes sense. I remember, this was a long time ago. I think I was still using CRTs, but, like, you know, I'd run, like, two or three of them at the same time. And, to give me more space in my working area, I remember I used to actually drag my tools off to another window. But I quit doing that, and I don't even remember specifically why, but I just remember I kept running into problems with it. I'd like lose my tool panes or something like that, because when I'd open the program again, it wouldn't remember where they were. But it would put them like off screen somewhere, like off of either screen, and I just couldn't find them, you know? Something like that. So I haven't tried that in a long time. I don't know if that would still be buggy or not.
I have so little, like, screen
green space on my surface that I have to keep on my tool, or like layers windows and stuff and color picker and stuff like that hidden in the little like buttons on the side.
Oh yeah. That's a really good feature to have because it does allow you to save some space while in tight areas like that. But the fly in, fly out panels just they annoy me because you know they'll block up stuff you need to be looking at while you've got them out. Like for like in my experience anyway, it always just worked out that I just try minimizing them. I don't completely minimize them the buttons, but I make them take up the least amount of space by just dragging a window and resizing everything as far off to the side of the screen as I can. And of course, I mean, vertically, it's still, you know, every time you click on a new panel, it collapses another panel, so you have to still deal with that, but it's not as jarring to me as having to deal with fly-out panels for some reason. But, I mean, it works for some people, too, so it's like, you know, I mean, it's working for you, so everybody's kind of got their own way of dealing with it, I guess.
Yeah, I usually find the one I have to always leave open is the layers. Just so I can switch between all my color layers really quickly.
Yeah, and I've always got my navigator open. Because it's for me, that's just easier to get from... Especially if I'm zoomed in on a page, it's easier to get from like one corner to the other or something instead of having to click and drag or scroll with a wheel or something.
I think that's one nice thing about the touch surface is it becomes so second nature just to drag with the fingers and zoom up in and out. And just to kind of squeeze.
Yeah, I
stretch motions.
I didn't even think about that because that's like the newer Cintiq you're working on, Mike. Doesn't that have a touch feature?
No, I didn't get the touch feature. I heard it was garbage.
Oh, okay. Because I remember like old combo things like that where you'd have to switch between working with a stylus and touching. Like a lot of times it would misread palm pressure and stuff like that as being a touch. And I was just wondering like. I assume that's improved since the last time I've heard about any of that, you know, like.
I like it's surprising how easy, like, having the stylus in your hand and then all of a sudden touching with your thumb and your middle finger while still holding the back stylus in your hand, it becomes really natural. Without having to, like, reach over with your opposite hand to do stuff.
Yeah, I can see that. The tablet that I've got is it's a touch and pen tablet, and but I've always just turned the touch off because it is an older model. It kept misreading my gestures as being zooms when I didn't want them to be zooms or something, you know, or it would do like flip the page or something or whatever, you know, it would just misread what I was doing a lot of times, so I always wound up turning it off. And then I'd turn it back on if I just wanted to use a touch by itself or something, but... Technology, ain't it wonderful? I wonder what the, is there going to be a next interface? It's going to be, like, you know, Minority Report or something? Like... I never understood when they'd show you those interfaces that you could see through, so, like, you'd see lights and stuff behind your interface.
Really distracting.
Yeah, you would think that you would mispress things thinking it was on your screen or something, you know?
I mean, though, would that be just the next step of those, like, fancy transparent whiteboards that all the super geniuses use because it lets them see past the idea they're working on or something?
That sounds like a good rationalization of it. It seems like a UI nightmare, though, man.
Because
you couldn't account for, like... I don't know, I mean, I guess it works because, you know, the heads-up displays, it works for minimum information, I guess. Because even some cars have those, like, you know, heads-ups that project on the windshield or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think, weren't there some cars that actually projected their... gauge information on the wind, so it didn't actually have a gauge area, it just projected it all up on the windshield.
I'm wondering why that stuff didn't take off more, because I remember being, gosh, like
at least 10 years ago, I remember the Infinities had the little panel on the bottom of the screen that had, like, night vision.
Yeah, I remember seeing ads for that.
When driving at night, you could see something jumping out in the road in front of you.
That was the ad I remember. They would show a car driving down the road at night and a deer coming out, and you'd see it on the windshield all green or whatever.
Yeah. I'm wondering what in that technology, like, what was the deterrent for not having that become something standard in cars over the last 10 years?
I wonder if they couldn't prove, like, maybe they couldn't prove it wasn't distracting, so it wasn't legal to do it or something. Like, no, that doesn't make sense, or else they would have never really put it. I mean, I guess it retroactively could have become illegal. But that's true too. Yeah. I never actually saw any mention of how those things performed, and obviously you wouldn't need night vision during daylight, but I mean even just your basic gauge information and stuff like that. Like, I don't know.
Just drive with full night vision goggles on anyway.
Just always. Like,
I wear welding glasses.
That's because you're a mole man.
It's your blast shield, your Star Wars.
I drive the blast shield. I drive with the Force.
Yeah.
I'm a very powerful Jedi.
You don't really need eyes when you've got the Force.
That's true. It's true.
I have a question about the blast shield, actually.
Okay.
So he puts it down, right?
Yes.
Is that because when you're fighting, the lasers are so bright? Put a blast shield in front of your eyes so you still see where it
is. No, I think that helmet is literally a welding helmet. That's why it has a blast shield on it.
I always just assumed dirty you couldn't see through it. Like,
no,
it was an old one.
No, it's a literal blast shield. Because it also puts...
So, yeah, what is a blast shield? Why do they need that? It works the same way as a welding.
Yeah.
I never actually thought you could see through it at all. It never looked like it was trans. Like,
have you used a welding helmet?
Yeah, I mean, I know those, but like, you know what the glass on those looks like. I mean, it still looks like glass or whatever, right? It always, to me, a blast shield always looked like it was matte or something. Like, it was just a piece of metal.
Why would you have a opaque visor come down on your helmet?
I don't know. It never made any sense to me, and it never made any sense because it was so dark. Like, how would they see through it when they were targeting? Like,
why do they need that?
And it's manual on top of it, so...
Yeah, so you need... Is that just... It's your last resort? It's like, I don't want to see this happen.
I mean, it's like a manual slide lever, so by the time you would need it, you wouldn't even be able to use it. Like...
Oh, my God. This is very... I'm sure there's some horrible nerd that hates the last movie that knows why.
Maybe.
But, you know, I don't want to ask because then I'll get a...
It
has something to do with why Rose Tico sucks.
Apparently it's used for Jedi, like...
No, that's bullshit.
That's bullshit.
That's on the Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Why would Han Solo have that on his ship if all it was for was Jedi's?
Yeah.
Obi-Wan brought it.
He didn't bring... He didn't even have any luggage. How could he have brought it?
He had a whole speeder that they took.
Yeah, but you don't see him walking around with a helmet under his arm.
And why would Obi-Wan, after all those years in the desert, still have a Jedi training helmet anyway?
Definitely looks like some random shit they have on the ship.
Yeah, it looks like a welding thing, like, which makes sense because they're always repairing that damn ship.
Is there a blast shield on his helmet in the TIE Fighter?
In the TIE Fighter?
Or in the X-Wing.
I would think so.
Didn't they have a second thing that they slid down in the X-Wings?
Well, that was the combat computer.
Here we go. Here's the description.
Oh my God.
From the Wikipedia.
Fuck Wikipedia.
The helmet itself was one of the surviving prototypes of a failed specialized blast shield helmet for the Ibidal Sector Force Z-95 Starfighters. See, it was developed during the Clone Wars for protection against the flash of burning plasma charges. It had been accidentally left behind on the Millennium Falcon by Joran Kulish, A disgruntled former member of the Sector Forces Foxfire Squadron, back when the freighter was known as the Stellar Envoy.
I hate this.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that the Millennium Falcon was called the Stellar Envoy.
I hate that. Why do people have to know everything about something?
Because it's not cool to just leave it a mystery.
It's funny to pose a joke. It's funny to say, hey, that's interesting, but these guys want to know. They want to know because somehow that makes this better to them?
Aren't we asking?
As a joke!
Okay.
I mean, it's a funny idea that there's actually no reason for that thing to exist.
It seems awfully convenient that it got left on the place where the Jedi would need it.
Well, that's
the Force, right?
That's mysterious ways, brother.
I just don't get, like, I get that it's made to protect the wearer's eyes, but I feel like the fact that you can barely see through it defeats the whole purpose of it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how you would target anything if you can't see through the thing until something shoots.
You're just flying through the sun.
You're seeing where the lasers are coming from?
Yeah. But it doesn't help if you can't fucking see your own cockpit.
So wait, did Obi-Wan bring that little flying drone?
Yeah, where did that thing come from?
Well, that's something that Han had on his ship.
Why would he have it on his ship?
I mean, it just seems like a thing you fuck around with.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, he's got all kinds of junk in there.
Was it just like left over from a shipment?
It's just like a little training thing. It seems like you can, like, shoot at it and do shit with it.
So they have those targeting computers. So... I'm still trying to figure out this blast. Apparently they were warned by the pilots because this whole plasma launcher thing was so bright when the missiles were coming at you that it would... mess with heads-up displays or the explosion was so bright it would blind the pilots who were getting shot at by these things.
But then how would they fly with them on?
That's what I'm wondering.
So the helmet shows up in Han Solo at Star's Inn, the novel from 1979.
Oh, so these are legends. Oh, none of this stuff matters anymore, though, because it's not canon. So all that research was for naught.
Well, that's a pain in the butt.
So now it's just back to being a welding helmet. Until Disney decides to explain what it is.
Which they probably will in, like, 10 years or something like that.
Do those fucking little Jedi kids have it on?
Oh, that's a good question. I have that movie here.
These are all good questions. Which movie?
They have a weirder helmet on.
But they serve a similar purpose, because they would use those little remote doodads.
Huh. Little dome hats.
Oh, blasphemies.
So, none. Okay, so the new Huion, the Canvas Pro 22 is $900. At least from
the name of the brand I was looking at. First, those screens.
Was it like Busto or Yanova, Huion? There's really only like a handful of them so far. Whoa. Crash. Baby, crash.
Shut up.
They call me Crash.
Shut up.
Crash Crank.
Nobody likes you.
Aw.
I'm sorry, that was mean.
That was mean. You shouldn't ought to talk like that, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so me sort of slipping into a drawl there for a second reminds me that, you know, you watch Amazon enough and you see the same damn commercials over and over in between movies or whatever, episodes, things like that. Mm-hmm. And they tend to advertise their, you know, Amazon original stuff a lot. And so I keep seeing that I can't remember what it's called now, but it's that Billy Bob Thornton or whatever. Something where he plays a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And I keep seeing that clip. I'm hearing this thing in my dreams now. I keep seeing this clip where he's like, I took a case. You know. So I just keep repeating that over and over on the loop in my head. Just him saying, I took a case. It's terrible.
I'm sorry.
It really is terrible.
We should stop this podcast.
Why?
Because we've been recording for a while.
Have we?
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been that long, has it?
Except he has to edit all the stuff that's actually usable.
It's not quite. It's
58 minutes.
Yeah, not even quite an hour yet.
Yeah, how much? Oh my god. Somebody's bored.
I'm always bored.
You can tell when Crank's feeling lonely.
I'm always lonely, Mike.
You can never tell when I'm feeling lonely, Mike.
Shut up, I'm cool! Don't care if you people are lonely!
He doesn't know you well enough yet.
We don't care! I got shit to do!
But, Mike.
What?
I'm lonely.
What the fuck was that?
That was me moaning. So I'm working on this other project, right? Alright, read me some email and then you can go.
There's no email. I look. Nobody, everybody's tired of us.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You don't sound sure.
I'm sure. I look. You look. Tell me I'm lying.
I can't look.
Look.
I don't know what the codes are. I don't have the codes. I took a case. All right.
What the hell?
All right. So I'm just going to look real quick. Has anybody got stuff in stores? Yes, actually, there is Curse Words. The swimsuit special is in stores this week.
Yeah. I like that you, like, now the audio is good. Like, there's no construction. It's quiet out. Or, like, all done.
The mic was done. I'm tired. I'm not gonna record for 2 hours.
Somebody needs a nap.
I do.
It'll be okay, little guy.
Oh!
Shh.
Go buy my books.
Shh. Oh, how'd your signing go the other day?
All right. Nobody was there. Well, nobody goes to signings.
Nobody likes you.
Nobody likes me!
Yeah, you should probably qualify that by saying nobody goes to your signings.
Shut up!
Sorry, two on the nose?
What the fuck?
Well, Jenny Frison's got a Wonder Woman cover in stores this week.
She always does.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Oh, she always does. She does every cover.
Right, but Wonder Woman's not in stores every week, is it?
Every month.
Yeah. So?
Shut up.
What's Tim working on these days?
I don't know.
All right. Barbarella number 9 from Dynamite's in stores. I lettered that.
Did you?
I lettered that.
I don't think you did.
I lettered that. Yep. Image Comics. Curse Words. Yes, we saw that. Or I mentioned that. Oh, Hackslash Resurrection number 10 was in stores this week as well.
Oh, wasn't.
Cover B by Jim Terry.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, so that's what I was going to say. This other project I'm working on, it's like an auto-bio kind of thing. And it's really weird because there's people in it I know. So I'm seeing like Jim Terry drawn in, talking to people in a comic I'm lettering.
What is this?
It's weird.
What is it?
Addison knows what it is. I don't know if it's...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's... I don't know if it's talkaboutable.
What is it? Tell me what it is.
It's not a... Thank you to see that. Now I'm not sure. Well, no. People have known it's in the works. It's a fucking 40.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, we've talked about that on the show.
Have we?
Yeah, there've been, it's all over the internet.
But have we talked about it?
C2E2-ish.
They had a table at C2E2.
I wasn't at C2E2. I don't know.
I've been in videos for the damn thing.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about none of that.
Just wheels have started turning again.
Oh, okay.
This isn't
a secret. This is old news.
Yeah. Okay, so it's old news.
You're old news, Crank.
So, yeah, anyway, but it's weird because, like I said, I'm seeing people I know in it, and it's just strange. There's not sort of disconnect going on. Secrets.
Yeah, I guess that is an interesting project to kind of like get kind of put onto your lap without like any like.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't know the guy. Like,
and also just like everyone who was working on kind of knew what they were working on before it was a thing.
Yeah.
And like here we're like handing you this kind of finished piece.
Yeah, because I mean, judging by the dates in this thing, like I was gone by the time he was in Chicago, I guess. So yeah, I don't know if I ever even met him at a con or anything. I'm not sure. I don't remember him at all. So
I'm not con you.
Yeah, well, you can try. I'll talk to Kais. And okay.
That's not one of your better ones.
No, it's not. I'm not really a voice guy.
No, I don't mean the impression. It's just you come up with these little things that you say over and over again. That's not one of the better ones.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, Zabadoo!
Zabarans.
Nope, Zabadoo! All right, so I guess we're done this week. You can reach us at crankcast.com.
Comic book.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Mike's Lil Donnie, is that actually on sale now?
Yes, go buy my comic book.
So that was in stores this week?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if the signing was a pre thing.
Tell people to order our other comic books.
Okay, calm. Jesus, man. Check yourself.
Do it. Do it.
Grumble is being solicited now, I think, right?
Give him the number.
I don't have... You what?
I don't either.
I don't even know what the number is. I just know it's being solicited.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's coming out from Albatross.
Charles Battlepug.
It's coming out from Albatross Funny Books.
Do it.
That's Grumble I'm talking about. It's a sort of a funny, magic-y book with a talking pug. One might suspect Mike has a thing. A wheelhouse, as it were. And then there's Battle Pug, which Mike's going to be getting the Compugdium together soon.
No, it's solicited this month.
Okay, well, it's solicited.
It's in the same catalog.
It's in...
Buy it!
Who's putting that out?
Image!
Okay. So, yeah, that's on Image. I'm sure Mike's got pug-related books coming out from every other known publisher soon.
Yeah. Dude.
He's just going to spread them around. It's like dandelion fluff, you know?
I have honestly talked to DC editors about doing Batpug.
There we go. Batpug there.
Take me seriously, though.
He's
get the spider pug, too?
I heard he was doing a book for Oni called The Sixth Pug.
The Sixth Pug.
Yeah.
Pug Pilgrim?
Yeah. Pug Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Scott Pug.
Scott Pugrum.
Hell Pug from Dark Horse, of course. Yeah.
I've done that.
Oh, right. They've already done Battle Pug anyway. I forgot they were the ones that published Battle Pug. All right.
No, I drew a pug in a Hellboy thing.
Oh, okay. So there you go. It's, yeah, something like that. Whatever. I don't know. Is Archer Co. Dark Horse or is that?
That's Oni.
That's Oni. Okay. So, Archer Pug, I was thinking. I don't know. And not to mention Dead Pug, of course, for Marvel, right?
Yeah.
The pug with a snort. The merc with a snort? I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. Yeah, so you can still read Battle Pug online, by the way. Lil Donnie's in stores. You can go get that. Robots was in stores last week, but it's still in stores, so you can go get that. And, yeah, I guess that's it for this week. We'll see y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.